In today's video, you'll learn about the state of corporate volunteering and how it's changed since the pandemic. We discuss how the definitions of volunteering has changed and what makes a corporate volunteering program successful. Let's make a social impact.
Hi everyone, I'm Carl. Welcome to the Social Impact Show, a channel where you get the latest strategies and tips to help you scale and grow your CSR and goodness programs. So my guest today, and usually my favorite guest, her name is Sona Khosla. She is the Chief Impact Officer here at Benevity. You've probably seen her for other episodes, but today we're going to be talking about corporate volunteering. So first of all, thank you very much, Sona, for joining us today.
Thanks, Carl. I'm excited to be here today.
So let's get right into it. What do you think is the state of volunteering, corporate volunteering today, and how has it changed in the past couple of years?
Yeah, you know, I think I'll start with the fact that volunteering has completely soared. And that's actually what initiated this whole analysis and research that we ended up doing around the state of corporate volunteering, as we noticed that there was just this massive growth in volunteers and volunteering hours in our platform. In 2023, we saw it in 2022. And then, of course, we were recovering from the pandemic in 2021. So it wasn't as pronounced, but it's just absolutely accelerated and grown to proportions that we've never seen on our platform before. And it's not just on the number of hours and number of volunteers that we've seen metrics soar. It's also on the number of companies adopting volunteering. And so in Benevity's client community alone, we have 94% of our companies who have now added volunteering to their corporate purpose programs. So near ubiquitous, right? Almost every single company is now doing this. And so why? How has it changed and why has it changed? Well, obviously the pandemic, I think, played a massive role in helping us understand that each one of us has something to give. We can give in time, we can give in our skills, we can give out of kindness and gestures. And so that concept of like just giving in a moment of need, I think really hit the collective consciousness. And actually what we saw during that time was a number of companies saying, okay, since you can't get out to volunteer with a nonprofit, we're going to now allow you just to do these volunteer acts of kindness. So maybe going and getting groceries from compromised neighbor, or sewing masks, if you remember that. So companies were rewarding that kind of positive action during that time, and what we called volunteer acts of kindness. And then I think, as we started to see companies want to bring their people back to the office or try to connect people, we saw two things happen. One was, first, when we couldn't all come back to the office, virtual volunteering really grew. So even though we were trying to connect people to their communities and help in this collective moment of crisis, also like companies were feeling a real crisis in their own culture. And so they wanted to connect their people. And so virtual volunteering became a thing where people could come together in the safety of their own homes and start to give back together in these, 1 hour or 2 hour or even shorter segments. And so that kind of really took virtual volunteering from, fairly small proportions, which we can talk about later, to much higher proportions of volunteering. And then finally, we've just seen a massive growth as many companies are trying to bring more people back to the office. So a lot of people kind of hosting volunteer events, right? Because it's not good enough to just come back and sit in your cubicle and do your work alone. Like, what's the point? If you're going to come back, you might as well be using it to meet with people and do something together. And maybe that something has greater purpose than just, showing up and having a coffee together. You can make an impact together. And you can cross-pollinate across teams and meet other people who you haven't seen maybe in a few years and share in that sense of purpose and impact. And so we saw a lot of companies starting to bring their employees back to location-based volunteering over the last year. So ultimately what this all means, and I know you asked a very simple question, but what this all really means is that we've just seen this, this renewed purpose for volunteering programs as a way to build connection and culture and community and positive impact in this kind of hybrid world that we've been living in over the last 1 or 2 years.
So you mentioned, virtual volunteering and the pandemic, but obviously, when the pandemic happened, it gave rise to a lot of different new ways or innovative ways to volunteer, right? Because, you know, you may not, the typical traditional way to think of volunteer is corporate volunteering is people go as a group somewhere to volunteer and then come back. But with the pandemic, you couldn't really do that. So how has the definition of volunteering changed since the pandemic?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, one of the key things we've seen really change is actually the definition of volunteering itself, right? So prior to the pandemic, you know, companies really thought of volunteering as giving time specifically to a nonprofit or a registered nonprofit or a registered organization. That really started to change with the pandemic, like I was describing earlier, which is all of a sudden we recognized the value of small positive actions that weren't necessarily tied to a nonprofit, but still had a positive impact on your community. And so companies actually said, you know what, we're going to start to allow that and even promote that, because it's actually engaging people in positive behaviors that drive social impact in their communities. So why restrict ourselves? And so many companies started to allow it and even promote it and encourage it in their programs and even reward it with charitable currency. So that's, you know, that concept of volunteer acts of kindness really took off. And in fact, at this stage, even now that it's 2024, 80% of companies allow volunteer acts of kindness in their programs. And that's a lot. And then you take a look at, you know, who's participating in these. And it's amazing. It's something like over 30% of employees only engage in volunteer acts of kindness. So it's really cool because companies are now reaching people that they may not have ever reached before through these really simple, small acts that don't take a lot of time, don't take a lot of effort, and are a part of people's day-to-day or their lifestyles. And so it's not surprising then to know that 35% of total volunteer hours are actually volunteer acts of kindness on the Benevity platform, which I think would surprise a number of people. So another way that the definition of volunteering has changed since the pandemic is in the types of opportunities that are offered. So, you know, people holed up in their homes, couldn't leave. All of a sudden, we needed ways to access people's goodness. And so that was done through virtual volunteering. And, you know, before the pandemic, only about 23% of volunteer opportunities were actually virtual. Well, during the pandemic, you know, and just post-pandemic, that was in the high 70% range that were virtual volunteer opportunities. Now that we've come out of the pandemic and we're resuming kind of this new world of hybrid work, we're seeing about 50% roughly of volunteer opportunities become virtual. And so it's still here. It's leveled out. It's, you know, it's receded since the height of the pandemic, but it's not going away. It's still an important part of a company's program because it also engages those remote employees who may not have a location to go to. And it connects people across various locations. So virtual volunteering still plays a really important role. So that's how, you know, I would say those are the two major ways that volunteering, you know, its own definition kind of flexed and evolved over the pandemic.
So, you know, you mentioned the tiny little bits of volunteering that maybe we wouldn't have considered before, and now that it's actually making a big impact. So I guess the definition of corporate volunteering, you know, as we mentioned, has changed, but how has, I guess, what makes a corporate volunteering program successful if you include all these little things?
It's a great question, Carl. And actually, it's part of why we undertook this research. And just to level set, we actually analyzed data from about 473 active volunteering programs across 18 countries with about 12.9 million Benevity users. So not necessarily a small study. And so we feel pretty confident in the data that we pulled. And through our analysis, what we discovered was that companies who really actively promote volunteering see the most benefit. It's not something that you can just turn on, set it and forget it, and just assume that people will discover these opportunities and engage, right? There's an inertia that companies have to overcome to get their people aware of these opportunities and then, of course, involved. And so we looked at what is it that the top performing companies actually do consistently, and we found four things. So the first one was that they offer company-supported volunteering opportunities. So what they do is they actually curate and promote specific opportunities with nonprofits. And usually those nonprofits are either very local to the communities that they operate in, or are very tied to their strategic focus areas. So for example, if you're a sporting company, you might have partnerships with organizations that encourage youth to get out and get fit practice sport. And so you may be curating some of those opportunities for your people. Or another example is maybe you've got people across the continent, and so you want to provide really local opportunities. So you've maybe got nonprofit partnerships or access to catalogs through platforms like Volunteer Match, which is filtered through the Benevity platform as well, and you're kind of starting to promote and curate these opportunities. So that's one way. The second way we saw was team volunteering. And this is, I love team volunteering. I think it's one of the most what would you say? It's underutilized, or maybe it's kind of one of the most underrated opportunities. And it's partly because it's hard, right? It's hard to get middle managers to really get engaged in getting their people to volunteer together. And so it's about planting seeds of inspiration to those teams, to those middle managers, and saying, hey, instead of just a social event, why not actually tie in a volunteering opportunity, whether that's virtual for your remote folks, or it's location-based if you're getting all of your people together. And then maybe after that, you go out for a pizza and a pop or something. But actually volunteering together is just a great way to deepen the social connection for a team, but also make a positive impact on the community. What I love most about that is you create memories together, which actually care really underestimate the power of that. You know, when you kind of go through good and bad times, if you've got memories and experiences together, it kind of bonds the team. So the third one is employee-led volunteer initiatives. And this is another one that I love, because we're living in a world where we trust our peers more than we trust institutions. And so, hey, it's like if there's a cause that Carl is really passionate about, and Carl, you want to get more people really engaged in a cause that you care about, so then you promote a volunteering opportunity and say, hey, friends at work, I'm going to be going out and volunteering. I would love to get 10 more people coming with me. Would you be willing to come? I've put a shift in this platform that you can access and sign up for. And so, I might do that because, well, Carl, you're my friend, we work together, and I want to show you that I care about you and care about things that you care about. That's employee-led volunteer initiatives. And then finally, one of the biggest ones is company-wide volunteering periods of service or moments of service. So whether that's a month of service, a day of service, a global kind of period of time where you bring all your employees all over the world to volunteer. These moments that a company can curate can be really powerful in reinforcing the importance of having purpose and making a difference. But also it just brings everybody out, people who may not normally come out. So you do tend to see participation really move where companies invest in those volunteering periods of service. And so just a quick stat, Carl, that we found kind of interesting was that, a company could increase their volunteering participation by an average around 12 times if it allows both company-created and employee-led volunteer opportunities compared to none. So just that the power of curation is one that can't be underestimated. And I think, the other thing I would say is, we talked about those four key drivers of volunteering. What it also tells us is that the more diverse your volunteering content sources, the more people will be drawn into the program, because there's all these different dimensions or causes or nonprofits or opportunities to get engaged.
Of the four that you just mentioned, do you have one or two examples of really standout, companies that have done either of those things really, really well?
Yeah, I would say I'd call out Morningstar, who's really passionate about volunteering. And so they encouraged employee-led volunteering by identifying what are called local community champions. So these are people who sit in local offices across their 30 global offices. And these folks curated a bunch of opportunities for their colleagues to participate in. So the outcome of that was that 5,400 colleagues volunteered for 128 different local projects, ranging everything from like working with students to assisting the elderly to fighting food insecurity and restoring the environment. So again, just that great diversity depending on where colleagues are located, what matters to those communities, and even what matters to those offices and the people who work there. So Morningstar is a great example of employee-led volunteering. Charles Schwab is another one that I really love. They do the company-wide volunteering events incredibly well. They've been doing it for a long time, since about 2004. So they're going into 20 years now, and they've got something called the Annual Schwab Volunteer Week. And this initiative, which I believe started out just as a day, has now become a full two-week nationwide event that engages more than a quarter of all of their employees, both in person and virtually. And they support over 400 nonprofits through this event. So again, just one of those big moments. So it's nice to kind of see the difference, both, you know, really successful. And, you know, companies do multiple versions, right? They don't just do one. They employ all four levers. And like I said, you know, earlier, the more that they employ those levers, the more likely they are to move the needle on participation, engagement, and of course, impact by extension.
So let's get a little bit more specific. What are some of the features that, you know, the best volunteering programs use?
Yeah, we actually decided to benchmark this, Carl, and we haven't done this before. So it was kind of exciting, and we were intrigued to see what might come through this. So we benchmarked the features that have a direct impact on corporate volunteering program success. And we found a few things. So one, talked about that earlier, including volunteer acts of kindness. 80% of clients or companies use that. So if you're not doing it, you're definitely in the minority. The other one that we haven't talked about so far was offering rewards in the form of donation currency. So what that means is you go volunteer for an hour, and we'll give you $20 to donate to the charity of your choice. Now, whether that's the organization you just volunteered with or a different organization, we'll give you that choice. So it's often called dollars for doers, or sometimes it's in the form of donation grants. And you can even see things like team grants. So for example, Carl, if you did get 10 people out to your volunteering activity, then a company may actually grant you $1,000 or $5,000, depending on kind of what their own program design is. But what's interesting is in companies who offer rewards, the average number of volunteer hours per person tracked is 50% higher. So it just goes to show that it really is a driver in helping people track those hours. At this stage, it's really kind of unknown to us exactly how much it might influence participation, but we did see a correlation between offering rewards and participation. But the very direct and strong association we saw was that rewards actually influence the number of hours per volunteer. And I mentioned that and emphasize that for two reasons. One is, so many people who run their volunteer programs struggle to get the time tracked. And so they're constantly underreporting their number. They're like, we know people volunteer, they just didn't track it. Those rewards are a great mechanism to actually improve the tracking, but also the impact, because they're now donating those funds to organizations. So that's one that I love. The other thing is offering employees options to use a mobile app to track volunteer time. So a lot of companies using mobile apps, because you're out in the field anyways if you're on location base. So being able to do it right while you're there, and better yet, if you can post some photos and capture some of those memories right in the app that are there for posterity and memories, and to share back with the rest of the company, and just creates kind of a sense of FOMO, but also it inspires other people, like, hey, there's teams that are doing this, maybe we could do this as well. And then finally, the one that I think is really important for companies to know is there used to be this time where a lot of companies instilled what are called thresholds. So they would only allow a minimum number of volunteer hours to be tracked before they would reward it. And so, for example, it's like, unless you volunteered 10 hours, we're not going to, reward you for it. Well, I think that as we've moved towards a world where we want to help people feel more included, a number of companies have done away with those thresholds, and it's actually the majority of companies have done away with those thresholds. So again, companies are in the minority if they're maintaining thresholds. And this is one that I think is really important. If you are a company that is talking about inclusion and diversity and equity, then removing thresholds is really important, because what it says to your employees is that, listen, any hour that you give, is important and valued, and that we know that, you know, people in different stages of life have different things to give. So earlier on in life, before people, if they choose to have kids, before that, they tend to have more time. So they give more time than money. But, you know, that sandwich generation who's got kids and, you know, caregiving for parents, time is scarce. And so they may be more likely to give money. But if they're volunteering 1 hour, why not reward that? Mm-hmm. And then we see actually at the other end, older people and long tenured employees tend to give a lot of hours. And of course, especially retirees, a number of companies include retirees in their programs, and they are very active volunteers that are living in that period of time where, you know, they have the time to give again. So it's kind of full circle. So this is why I kind of harp on about threshold being really important to be removed from a program so that you can create a more inclusive culture that really makes everyone feel like their time is valued.
So Sona, why are companies, like, given everything that you've said, why are companies investing, or should they invest, in corporate volunteering programs?
That's a good question, Carl, especially because we know that, you know, businesses are thinking a lot more about efficiency, time savings, and cost savings. So why volunteering? Why is it soaring now? And there's some really good reasons. I mean, we touched on one of them, right? Which was bringing people back to the office in a way that really builds community and creates connection. But I think the other thing is there's a few different impacts you can look at volunteering on. So one is the individual, the employee. And actually, there was a new academic study that just came out from Industrial Relations, I think, journal. And basically, what they said was that of the 90 interventions that they studied for employee well-being, volunteering was the only one that had a positive impact on employee well-being, which I think is pretty shocking. And it also had a higher report of belonging amongst participants. And so there is absolutely a well-being component to this on the individual. The other value to the employee is skills development, right? They're developing empathy, understanding, they're planning events, they're organizing them, they're communicating, they're meeting people from diverse backgrounds. You're developing all sorts of skills that actually are really valuable for leadership in a company. And so you'll start to see that for the individual, it's a really powerful way to also create connections across the company. So now you know someone in another department who you can go and talk to about something, get more information or influence something. So again, making those connections. So for the individual, there's a lot that's valuable. There's, of course, the social impact, right? So making a difference in communities that might need it. But the other piece that, you know, I think is becoming really pronounced and better understood is the impact on business. So, you know, we see that in our own data that employees who engage in volunteering and giving, for example, are 52% less likely to leave if they're a newer employee, so around 2.5 years or less. But even we looked at all tenures, and it was 24% reduction in employee turnover for employees who had engaged in these programs. When you equate that to the cost to recruit and onboard and train, it's pretty significant cost savings just moving the needle on retention. So massive business impact. And then a number of companies have gone even further and correlated it with productivity, performance, peer recognition, and promotions is actually the really interesting one. We had a client who looked at the correlation between participation in volunteering programs and promotions, and they saw a strong positive correlation there, which is great. It goes back to what I said about skills development and leadership development. But what was really interesting was that they also saw that the people who were participating in these volunteering programs tended to be women and people of color. And so what they didn't realize was that they were actually generating a pipeline of diverse leadership in their company through their volunteering program. So many business benefits, you know, team benefits as well, right? We know that volunteering actually increases oxytocin levels by around 50%, and that's the bonding hormone. And so, you know, it helps create those social bonds. It helps create affiliation and connectedness and trust. So it's not really surprising that volunteers also report better physical health. It reduces their stress, their depression, their anxiety. So you've got business impact, you've got social impact, you've got individual impact, you've got inclusion, you've got well-being. I mean, it's pretty phenomenal. It almost feels like it's too good to be true, but very few corporate programs deliver on, you know, that many facets of value. Volunteering is one of them.
So much has gone on in volunteering, I guess, since the pandemic. You know, we got so many new definitions of volunteering, new ways to capture it. What do you think in the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years, where do you think corporate volunteering is going?
Carl, I love that you asked that question. I've been thinking about the future, and I want to share this one stat that we discovered as we were going through the research, and it was definitely a big surprise to us. And that was the fact that in the period of the study, 65% of volunteers were new in that past year. It's a lot of people volunteering for the first time. And so what that tells us is two things. One is, wow, the investment that companies have made in promoting events and volunteering is definitely attracting a lot of new people, which is fantastic. And it's partly why we saw the participation rate grow by about 57% in that year. But the other thing it tells us is that there's a massive opportunity to start retaining and further engaging and nurturing these volunteers. So maybe they've come in for the first time and they've only done something once. How can companies actually leverage that new volunteer to create more sustained and lasting impact for nonprofits? And I get excited about this because if you look more broadly, let's just, you know, park corporate volunteering for a second and just think about the nonprofit sector right now. Nonprofits are really struggling to attract and retain volunteers right now. And so here corporations come, 65% of their volunteers are new in the past year. That's a massive new pipeline of people that they've brought to nonprofits so they can continue to sustain and engage them. That's a really big gift to the nonprofits who really need that help. So that's, I think, a really powerful thing. I think the other thing I'll say is, you know, if you do look at the participation rate of corporate volunteering programs, just on average, now these vary wildly by company, but on average, global average, is under 10%. Under 10% on average of employees actually engaging these programs. That is tiny compared to the potential. And so in parallel to sustaining and engaging those volunteers who have done it for the first time and nurturing them up maybe a curve where they get deeper and deeper in their engagement and in their involvement, there's also this, hey, what about the other 90%? Could we actually attract them and get them engaged as well? So I just see corporations as such a massive opportunity for social impact when you think about those few stats.
And that's amazing that like you get that 65%. Although I think like with the different ways that people can do it, I think like the concept of when you think of traditional volunteering and what you think of volunteering today, that gives people a lot more opportunities, which then of course, like, because like, let's say we have a lot less time today, whatever that is and whatever, journey we are in life, I think like just giving those opportunities and giving the, you know, whether it's a small amount that still counts or whether you have a lot of time to give, it's an opportunity for a lot more people, I think, like that may not have been there before. So that's an amazing thing. And I believe that will continue to grow because just for me, for example, I might not be able to volunteer the traditional where I'd have to go somewhere for hours, but being able to, let's say, volunteer through skills-based volunteering gives me an opportunity to give back, but also leverage some of the skills that I have that may not have translated originally. So I thought that's like an amazing thing and just more opportunities to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I might have shared this stat already, but you know, around 30% of volunteers only engage in volunteer acts of kindness. And so that's great because that's like a bit of a gateway into doing good, right? And taking action. But there is just a much bigger opportunity then to get them engaged in doing more. And I think, you know, oftentimes volunteering can feel really overwhelming. It's like, to your point, time is super precious. And it's scarce. So I want to be careful about who I give my time to. But sometimes I think that's almost paralyzing. It's like, do it really matter, like, that you don't find the perfect organization to start with? Like, for me, it's just like, get out there, do some stuff, and then actually figure out where you really feel the pull. So I love going to a variety of different volunteering opportunities because it's kind of like a buffet. I get to experience different opportunities and different ways of giving back. But also I start to learn more about who I am and what I care about. And it's like, actually, like I would say for me, I've had some very specific causes that I care about. But as an executive team at Benevity, we started volunteering at the local drop-in center nearby. And it's really touched me, and I've really developed an appreciation for the challenge of the housing crisis in Calgary. And, you know, I've started to talk to my husband about it, and we started talking about going and doing dinner services together. And so it's like, you might be surprised at what you learn about what you care about. And so, yeah. And the other thing is, going out to multiple opportunities also gives you the opportunity to be exposed to different communities. So you actually get to learn so much about what different communities struggle with or need, and what their strengths and resilience are. And I think that appreciation really develops a sense of empathy and understanding that I think we can bring back into the business and start to work with teams and colleagues who come from diverse backgrounds with much more compassion and understanding. So it's just this really virtuous thing. So, you know, I think we don't always go because it's like, I haven't thought about the thing. I don't know the perfect thing. I don't know what I care about. But actually, maybe you don't have to. Maybe you should just try a few things. Go to your colleagues, employee-led event, or go to the day of service and learn a little bit about an organization and community and see what pulls you.
So for those who don't know, can you share more about some of the research and the things that you're doing with Benevity Impact Labs?
Yeah, you bet. So Benevity Impact Labs is our social innovation lab. And essentially what we do is, because we have the most robust platform with companies activating on purpose, whether that's through giving, granting, volunteering, positive actions, or affinity groups, you know, managing ERGs or employee resource groups. We've got a lot of data and we can see what's trending. And so we like to share that data almost as a data for good type of project. So we analyze that data, bring insights and trends and reports out to the world and share those freely. Because really what we're trying to do is help companies, nonprofits, and individuals maximize and accelerate their impact and inclusion. So that's part of what we do. The other thing we do is we also bring communities together. And so bring people together to chat about these trends and really kind of get to the next level of, okay, now how do we as the private sector start to activate on these kind of collectively, but also individually within our own companies, and create, best practices and tips. So Benevity Impact Lab is just essentially a place where we can really think about how we harness the power of data to drive greater impact and inclusion.
Thank you for listening to The Social Impact Show. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Then visit Benevity.com to access some of the resources mentioned in this episode, along with tons of other insights to help you grow your program. Music provided by Ikeson. For questions or topics you want us to cover, reach us at podcast@Benevity.com. Until next time, be a force for good.